Welcome to As It Is, a 30-minute program designed for English learners. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English. We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world.
First, U.S. President Barack Obama announced on Tuesday his proposal to close the military prison at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. But leaders of the Republican-controlled Congress quickly criticized and restated their opposition to the plan. Katie Weaver has more.
Obama said at the White House that Guantanamo Bay does not advance our national security, it undermines it. He asked, "If as a nation we don't deal with this now, when will we deal with it?" The president appealed to Congress to be on the right side of history and asked the nation to act on the lessons learned over the past 15 years. Paul Ryan is the Speaker of the House of Representatives. The Republican Speaker said, "Congress has left no room for confusion. It is against the law, and it will stay against the law, to transfer terrorist detainees to American soil." Michael McCaul is the House Homeland Security Chairman. He said, "We are at war, yet incredibly, the president is more focused on relocating and releasing enemy combatants than on detaining new ones." The Guantanamo Bay prison opened in 2002 under the administration of former President George W. Bush. Its opening followed the September 11th terror attacks in New York and Washington. Obama promised during his 2008 presidential campaign that he would close the prison. The center has become known for its aggressive treatment of detainees. Some accused the United States of torture. This week, Obama said Guantanamo is viewed as a stain on our broader record of upholding the highest standards of rule of law. Almost 800 detainees have been held at Guantanamo Bay. Many of them remained there for long periods of time without being charged with a crime or put on trial. Many of the detainees have been sent back to their home countries. Others have been sent to nations willing to take them in. Fewer than 100 detainees remain there. On Tuesday, the U.S. Defense Department delivered Obama's plan to close Guantanamo to the United States Congress. The plan proposes 13 sites within the United States where the military could transfer a group of about 30 to 60 detainees. The proposal does not recommend which U.S. site should be chosen for the transfer. The proposed sites include federal prisons in Kansas, Colorado, and South Carolina, as well as military centers. Current U.S. law bans the transfer of Guantanamo Bay detainees to locations within the United States. Some say those transfers could bring security concerns. However, a top administration official said closing the prison is important to national security. The official said that the facility has inspired jihadists and served as a recruiting tool for terrorists. Obama said that when he took office, there was congressional support from both Democrats and Republicans for closing the prison. But over time, lawmakers have become worried about the politics of it, he said. With less than a year left in his presidency, 91 detainees remain. I'm Katie Weaver.
Turkey asked the United States for unconditional support in the fight against the Syrian Kurdish YPG. The United States supports the YPG, also known as People's Protection Units, in the battles against the Islamic State in Syria. The Turks believe the YPG was responsible for last week's bomb attack in Ankara that killed scores of people. The YPG is a section of the Syrian Kurdish Democratic Union Party. Turkey says they are terrorists. The U.S. does not agree. American officials could not confirm nor deny that the YPG was behind the bombing. A Kurdish militant group based in Turkey, the Kurdistan Freedom Falcons, claimed responsibility for the bombing. A Turkish government official rejected the group's statement as a false claim. President Barack Obama spoke with Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan by telephone Friday. Obama shared his concern about the fighting in Syria. Obama promised United States support for the Turks. The two NATO members said they would remain united against the Islamic State. This is As It Is from VOA, Learning English.
Years of conflict in Ukraine have hurt more than 580,000 children. The effects of the conflict may last for many years to come. Mario Ritter has this report.
The United Nations Children's Fund says more than 500,000 children have been suffering over the past 2 years because of the Ukraine conflict. Their rights are unprotected and their basic needs unmet, says UNICEF. And the 580,000 children living near the areas controlled by Russian-supported rebels may suffer emotional problems for the rest of their lives. Giovanna Barneris is the UNICEF representative in Ukraine. She told VOA that children are not being properly educated or housed and cannot play. She said they have seen violence and fighting and need psychological help. She said it is cold in eastern Ukraine. Fuel shortages and the high cost of coal put children at risk of becoming sick. And she warned that diseases could increase because the area lacks health services and medicine. She said children are also at risk of stepping on landmines or other unexploded devices. She told VOA there is no system for counting the number of children killed or hurt by these devices. She said the information from the Ministry of Health is unrealistic and not reliable. Soon after the conflict began, the Ukrainian government stopped sending support to people living in areas controlled by rebels. People who depend on those payments are hurting. Barneras says the government has not restarted the payments, but Russia is trying to ease the suffering by giving money to people in the area. I'm Mario Ritter.
Protesters damaged a canal that supplies water to the Indian capital city of New Delhi. It left large portions of the city without water over the weekend. Water was slowly coming back to the city of 18 million on Tuesday. Bruce Alpert reports.
Engineers are working to restore water supplies in New Delhi. Water was cut off to large portions of the Indian capital over the weekend. Protesters damaged a canal that supplies water to the city of 18 million. The canal in the neighboring Indian state of Haryana provides about 60% of New Delhi's water, the Associated Press reported. Water returned to some northern and central parts of New Delhi on Tuesday, the AP said. The city's water ministry said it hoped to return service to western neighborhoods Tuesday night. Indian government officials said they also sent 70 water tanks to western areas of New Delhi. The protesters from the impoverished Jat community damaged the Haryana Canal during violent protests, according to the AP. Protesters are demanding more government jobs and admissions to leading Indian schools. A battle between protesters and police over the last several days left 12 people dead. Jat leaders agreed to end the protests on Monday after negotiations with government officials. The damage of the Haryana Canal demonstrated problems with New Delhi's water supplies. Shortages are common in New Delhi during the dry season. The shortages are worst in New Delhi's riverside slums and shanties, according to the Future World Project. The project works on environmental issues related to climate change. I'm Bruce Alpert.
Scientists found sea levels are rising faster today than any time over the past 3,000 years. Another group of scientists found that January temperatures in the Arctic hit a record high. The sea level researchers gathered information going back 28 centuries. Their findings were released Monday by the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. Robert Kopp from Rutgers University in New Jersey is the paper's lead author. He said the 20th century rise was extraordinary when compared to the past 3,000 years. And, Kopp said, the rise over the last two decades has been even faster. When temperatures rise, so do sea levels. That is because snow and ice melt or break off from glaciers. They flow into the sea. The increased water makes the sea levels rise. The best estimates show that temperatures around the Earth have risen more than a half degree Celsius since 1880. Scientists say that most of that rise is because of emissions or gases released into the air by machines that humans have built. And it is not going to get better. The water is going to rise, said Stefan Rahmstorf.
He is a professor of ocean physics at the Potsdam Institute for Climate Impact Research in Germany and the study's co-author. I think we can definitely be confident that sea level rise is going to continue to accelerate if there's further warming, he told the New York Times. He said, inevitably, there will be more warming, which means it will continue to rise. One question is, how much will the sea levels rise, and for how long? The researchers said the Earth's sea level could rise more than a meter by the year 2100. Scientists from NASA and the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration reported that temperatures at the North Pole hit record highs in January. This news comes after 2015 has been the hottest year ever recorded. On average, the North was almost 4 degrees Celsius higher in January than average temperatures between the years 1951 and 1980. This news comes after researchers reported a record low amount of sea ice up north. The National Snow and Ice Data Center said the amount of January sea ice is 644,000 square kilometers below average. Scientists point to the blob, or an unusually warm area of water in the northern Pacific Ocean. It is millions of kilometers wide and keeps temperatures about 3 degrees warmer than usual in that area. I'm Ann Ball.
The United States government owns nearly a third of the nation's land, including nearly half of western states. In the rest of the country, the federal government owns just 4% of the land. For most Americans, federally owned or public land is not a major issue. But for people who live in the West, federal or public land ownership can be an issue. The federal government owns almost 47% in the western states of California, Nevada, Oregon, Washington, Arizona, New Mexico, Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, and Utah. In Nevada, the U.S. government owns 85% of the land. Farmers and ranchers who depend on land for their livelihood have clashed with government officials about how to use the land. Having land helped to create a strong federal government. But by the mid-1800s, the government was selling land in the West to encourage people to move there. The Congressional Research Service is an agency that gives information to the U.S. Congress. It says the federal government gave away or sold about 522 million hectares of federal land between 1781 and 2013. Few people live on or near federal land in the West. Much of the land is national forests, places for wildlife to live without being hunted, parks used to protect and grow plants and animals, and recreation areas. Much of the land is used for fishing, grazing, hunting, and logging. The federal government still buys land, but since 1990, federal or public lands have decreased by more than 3%, or 9.5 million hectares. Some state lawmakers in the West want the federal government to release more land. They have written bills or legislation that call on their state to take control of federal lands. But fishermen and hunters who use the lands worry that if the state takes control, the land will be sold to private owners. They may then be unable to use the land. Many people have different goals and plans for the land. It will continue to be an issue for citizens, industry, and politicians.
This is What's Trending Today. The English rock band Pink Floyd released the album Dark Side of the Moon in 1973. But 4 years earlier, in 1969, NASA astronauts on the Apollo 10 space mission heard what sounded like outer space music from the dark side of the moon. And nearly 50 years later, those mysterious noises have become a trending topic on social media. In May of 1969, the Apollo 10 crew approached the far side of the moon. The three astronauts, Thomas Stafford, John Young, and Eugene Cernan, would have no contact with the Earth. But just as they approached the far side of the moon, the crew heard strange music. The story of the unusual space noises will appear on a television series called NASA's Unexplained Files. A preview of the episode appeared on YouTube earlier this week. Some news reports and social media posts have wrongly said that the Apollo 10 audio files were recently declassified or made public. But the audio files have actually been publicly available at the National Archives since 1973, the same year that Pink Floyd released its hit album. And that's What's Trending Today. Public speaking is difficult even for native speakers of English. Learners find it even more difficult. A big part of giving presentations is body language. Jim Tedder presents today's lesson on public speaking in this week's Education Report.
Today, we return to the subject of successful public speaking, centering on the physical message of presentation. Some call this body language. Charles LeBeau is a professor of public speaking and has written several books about how to do it well. Mr. LeBeau tells VOA that body language includes posture, eye contact, and gestures, how you move your hands or arms.
For the physical message, I think a lot of non-native presenters are going to have problems with posture and eye contact and gestures. And I think a lot of this comes from nervousness. Not only are they nervous because they're doing a presentation, but in addition to that, they're really nervous because of their English and their lack of confidence and lack of experience in their English. And they're trying to figure out the grammar and what I want to say. And they're having all kinds of difficulty doing that and also controlling their body.
We have all seen nervous presenters in classrooms and meetings. One effect of being nervous is moving from side to side. A presenter does not need to stand perfectly still. In fact, an audience can lose interest in a speaker who does not move. How a speaker moves is important. Whole body movement should be slow and planned to command attention. Such movement helps to communicate confidence. New public speakers know that they should look at the audience while they speak, but they look at their notes on a paper or at a screen if they have an electronic presentation.
With posture, the typical problem that I see is that they're often moving back and forth, and they're not facing the audience. They'll often be facing the whiteboard or the screen with slides and be talking to that rather than talking to the audience. Same thing with eye contact. They find it really, really difficult. Some of them find it really difficult making eye contact with the audience because they'll be looking at their notes, they'll be looking at their computer, they'll be looking at the screen, they'll be looking at the floor. The problem of having notes and trying to talk from notes often is a big problem, so they have trouble with eye contact.
Charles LeBeau says the best way to avoid this problem is to use images and few words for notes instead of sentences. The image should help communicate the point you want to make. Writing a few words with the image on your slide helps you remember that point. Then you can look at the audience while speaking.
Another problem I've noticed is oftentimes there'll be a lot of sentences or words on the slides and no images. So I think the key is if they can figure out what images to use that will communicate their message, because the images will communicate faster and more clearly than the words.
Holding on to notes also makes it more difficult for a speaker to gesture naturally. Mr. LeBeau's book, Speaking of Speech, discusses this. He says gestures should support the point the speaker is making. For example, when talking about three ideas, hold up three fingers to introduce them. Then hold up one finger while explaining the first idea, two fingers for the second, and so on. Other experts advise moving your body to a different place for each idea. Stay in place until you finish making that point, then move to the next place on the stage or in the room. Mr. LeBeau says a good way to change your body language is to make a video of your presentation and watch yourself. This helps you to become aware of what you need to change.
I find oftentimes the gestures don't look natural, they're poorly delivered, or they're just non-existent. Students can video themselves and then look at it. They can clearly see, oh my, I had no idea that I look like that. My posture, I'm moving all over the place. Look at my hips. It's going back and forth and back and forth. And my eye contact. All these other goofy things that I'm doing without noticing it or thinking that, well, it's not such a big deal. But if I can see it, then I can realize, oh, okay, I see what I'm doing. I think that helps them change more quickly. So they can do their presentation again and work on changing. And then they can compare and they can see that they can make very quick improvement.
An important part of public speaking is practice. When you practice, remember these important tips. Be aware of your posture, eye contact, and gestures. Record yourself using a phone, tablet, or camera. Watch yourself and plan what you will do to improve. Look for opportunities to speak and gain more confidence. Mr. LeBeau says his students find the physical message the easiest thing to change in order to become a better presenter.
The first thing that we deal with is the physical message. And the reason we do that is so the students can have a real positive experience really quickly. You know I look like this in the beginning. And now, after one day or a couple of classes, now I look like this. I do look much better. And I think it helps them feel more positive about the experience and helps them see that, yes, I can do this. I can look confident. So I think that it's the easiest to change and maybe the most important thing to deal with first.
In our next speaking tips, we will look at the visual message, the visual aid you show the audience, and the story message, how to organize the ideas you present. I'm Jim Tedder.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.